Turn to Galatians chapter 2 with me, beginning at verse 20. These are the words of Paul in his consideration of the cross. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Amen. Just want to begin by that last verse and focus on that for a little while. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. We need the cross. That's my first point. We need the cross of Christ. And the reason we need it is because we by nature are lawbreakers. And the law in itself, at best, can only curb our outward behavior, the things that we do, manifestations of something much deeper. Keeping the law will not make us righteous. Righteousness is actually being perfect. Who's perfect? Just as God is perfect. By our own efforts, we will never actually attain to God's righteousness, God's perfection. That means that we can never know fellowship with God in our unrighteous state. Never know fellowship with God. Only those made perfect, made righteous, can enter heaven. And in the present, no intimacy with God. We need righteousness. And the law couldn't give it us. Righteousness is not a set of commands that we keep, things that we do outwardly. Righteousness is a character quality that we exhibit. Righteousness is an imparted quality from God. Without the means of righteousness being imparted to us, we will remain, the Bible tells us, eternally set apart from God, totally separate from God. But with righteousness imparted to us, we become set apart for God and for eternity and for heaven with him. And that's why we need the cross. That's why Jesus died. The Bible teaches that there is none righteous, not one. And in Romans 3:23, we're told, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Sin is deeper than law breaking. Sin is the source of law breaking, the things that we do wrong. And we, by nature, are just not righteous. Only God himself can impart that to us. And on the cross, through the cross, we have the means of that impartation, the means by which God can give us his righteousness. Jesus died, the Bible tells us, once for all. The righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. That's why the cross is so crucial for everyone who wants peace with God and a place in heaven with God. On the cross, Jesus took our sins and exchanged them for his righteousness. It's the best deal I've ever heard of. And I like deals, as you know. Best deal. 2 Corinthians 5 says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Let me illustrate. This is something that we've used in the Alpha course, if those of you are familiar with it, but it speaks more than just words. Here we are. This is us with our unrighteousness, with our sin. And this is Jesus with his pure righteousness. And the verse says that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. In other words, there was an exchange. Jesus took our sin upon himself on the cross. And then it goes on to say that he then gives us his righteousness, that so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The sinful becomes righteous. Jesus takes on our sin on himself on the cross. We need the cross. We need what Jesus did for us on the cross. Jesus' death on the cross is our only hope of being made right with God. Now, question for you. Have you ever personally thanked Jesus for dying for you on the cross? Have you consciously done that? Have you ever thanked him for taking your sin on himself? Have you ever invited him to come into your life, to begin to live his righteous life through you? Are you sure of heaven as your home? If you haven't, the bad news is the Bible says that you remain in your sin. You remain unrighteous. You remain outside of God's home for you. Because heaven is the place of righteousness. The law is good. Trying to keep the law is a good thing. But the law is not good enough. That's what the Bible teaches. Even if you uphold the law completely, it will not uphold you before God. We need a savior. We need someone to come and rescue us from this terrible predicament. We need Jesus. We need the sacrificial Lamb of God who went to the cross and died for us. We need the cross. And we need, this might sound extreme, we also need crucifixion. In the first half of our reading, Paul says, and Paul was actually a law lover, by the way. He loved the law. You know, he lived by it. He tried to keep it to the last letter. This is what he says. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live by is by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He knew what the key to a righteous life was. Having a righteous life means having the righteous one with his righteousness living that life through us. But that life must first be preceded by death. Christ's death and ours as we identify with him. Unless we die with Jesus on the cross, we can never fully know life with him, his life lived out in us. Paul knew the secret and the mystery of a vital Christian life. This is what he said in Colossians chapter 1. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And in Romans chapter 6 he says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into his death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. The life we are called to live is not the sin-soaked, under-the-law, laboring kind of life, but a new life empowered by the indwelling Jesus. Crucifixion gives us the opportunity to put to death our spoiled nature and experience God's new nature living in us. You see what I mean? We need crucifixion. We need to apply ourselves to the cross. Romans 8:11 says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Jesus himself is the life we need to live. He himself fits us for glory. This is what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him. So whose life are you living right now? Yours or Christ's? The new life cannot come unless the old one has been crucified with Christ. We need crucifixion. We need to let Jesus begin to live his life through us. Dynamic Christian living is when Jesus' life bursts forth from us. And that's the wonderful promise of God. That's the potential that we have. Christ himself living his life, righteous life, through us. Amazing, isn't it? We needed Jesus to die for us to take away our sin and make us clean and fit us for heaven. But we also need to die with him so he can live his righteous life in us. Once we let the life of Jesus live in us, we don't have to become the reference point to everything that happens to us anymore. When Jesus is in our life, we can refer to him when things come our way. We can call on him to deal with issues and trials and temptations and challenges to life. We say, Jesus, please, I'm tempted. Help me. Jesus, I've been challenged. Jesus. You see what I mean? The life of Christ living in us. No longer having to be the reference point in our life for everything that happens around us. We can invite the Spirit of Jesus in us to resist sin and Satan when they come calling. For those of us who have acknowledged our need of the cross and the need for the crucifying of our old nature, an appropriate response, actually, I find there's a few verses from a chorus that keeps coming to mind that just says, this is the kind of response I need to make when I know how much I needed the cross for the forgiveness of my sins, but also how much I need my life to be given over again and be crucified with Christ. You might recognize the words, Jesus, take me as I am. I can come no other way. Take me deeper into you. Make my flesh life melt away. There's the crucifixion. Make me like a precious stone, crystal clear and finely honed. Life of Jesus shining through, giving glory back to you. Shall we pray? If you've never thanked Jesus for dying for you, but would like to, you can in a moment. But if you have thanked Jesus for dying for you, and you no longer want to live your Christian life in your own strength, and want Jesus as your point of reference for all that happens to you, you too can pray. Let's just share in this prayer. Make it your own. Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you that you died for me to earn my forgiveness. Father God, I now turn from all I know to be wrong in my life and put my trust in Jesus as my forgiver and the leader of my life. I ask you, Lord, to live your righteous life in me. I no longer want to be the point of reference for my choices and my responses to temptations and trials that come my way, but I want to look to you. Thank you, Lord, that you always hear my prayer. Thank you for answering this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand and sing our last hymn. I will sing of that wondrous story of the Christ who died for me.
Oh. Jesus.